Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast.
From the studios of New York Public Radio and live on Facebook, this is the Soundcheck Podcast. I'm John Schaefer. The Australian singer-songwriter Jen Clower is an important part of the indie music scene down under. She is a co-founder of the influential Milk record label, along with her partner and occasional bandmate Courtney Barnett. And she's currently on tour, opening for Courtney Barnett and Kurt Vile. That is giving Americans a chance for the first time to hear in-depth performances by what I believe is one of Australia's finest songwriters. Now is your chance to hear Jen Clower in a live setting. She's here in our Soundcheck studio, and she's going to start us off with a song called Strong Woman. Jen Clower live in the Soundcheck studio with her song Strong Woman, which comes from her latest album, which is self-titled. Jen, first of all, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thanks for having me, John.
What does Kia Kaha mean?
Ah, good question. Kia Kaha is actually a Maori saying, so indigenous New Zealand.
Right.
for stay strong.
Uh-huh.
So it's, I think generally it's like, you know, go forward, stay strong, don't be frightened. So, yeah.
And was your mother from that culture?
Yeah, yeah. My mother is Maori. She was actually a professor at the Auckland University, a senior professor in Maori studies. And she wrote some really influential books, I guess, on the history of a particular Maori tribe, which was the tribe that I come from, the Ngāpuhi Iwi. Yeah, so, I mean, it's a bit of a tribute to my mum, this song.
Yeah. Well, now, the reason I mention that the album is self-titled is because it, in many ways, this album seems to be much more of a self-portrait, although there are exceptions. It seems to tackle identity politics and national politics with equal gusto.
Yeah. Well, it's a funny time to be on this planet, John. You know, it's an interesting time. Even in the last 5 years, I mean, I think things have happened all around the world with global politics, and it's very difficult, I think, you know, as an artist, not to acknowledge that or see that in some way. And it's really had an impact on me. And, you know, we just saw Patti Smith out in the hallway, and it's something she often says, you know, people have the power and use your voice.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw her earlier this year, she said that a few times. And it really landed. It's like, you know, artists do have that opportunity to use their voice.
Right. So the idea that this is a world made for men, and you know that even as a young woman, you know, that idea is something that you grew up feeling?
I just think all women know from a very young age that it's not a woman's world. I mean, you just need to turn on the television to discover that pretty quickly. And it's a strange thing, isn't it, to realise that you know, we live in a world that is, you know, predominantly run by men. And I guess the majority of the world's wealth lies in the hands of men. And so, you know, they have the ultimate power.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can still work around that.
Well, you know, I mean, there are very few Western countries at this point that have not had a woman in charge at some point. You happen to be in one at the moment, unfortunately, and surprisingly. We can talk about sort of the national politics of Australia maybe in a little bit, but a lot of your own personal story is kind of woven into the fabric of this record. The idea of being a touring musician who is a partner of a touring musician, and, you know, Courtney Barnett is now an internationally touring kind of sensation. And when the two of you first started sharing singles, you know, you'd do one side, she would do the other, when you were sharing a band and all of that, you know, that would have been, I'm guessing, a different sort of space for you than what it currently is.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Courtney and I have been together now for about 6 years. And when we first met, she was really kind of, I guess, writing songs for what would be her first EP. And she released that, you know, through Milk Records, our label. And I saw this reaction almost immediately to her work, just on a national level. And I got a feeling very early on that she was going to really make an impact. And then when it sort of started to trickle out overseas with the second EP, I think it was Avant Gardener was the song on that.
Right.
That's when I was like, I've got a feeling that Courtney Barnett is going to really connect and take off. So it kind of wasn't surprising in a weird way. But the great thing, I guess, is that, you know, Courtney has been in my band now for 6 years, and you know, we've made two albums together, and she's been touring with me a lot in the last few months, and will tour with me again next year. So it's been good to be able to sneak in a bit of Jen Chloe touring and recording around her schedule.
So you're opening for Courtney and Kurt Vile, but then she'll be in your band when you come back to New York on January 30th to play at Rough Trade. So the idea of sharing life on the road. I mean, lots of musicians have written songs about life on the road.
Yeah.
Some of these songs, like the one you're going to do next, is almost like a reverse road story.
Well, that's right. I mean, it's a voice you don't hear very often, the voice of the person left at home. You know, most songwriters write about being on the road and missing home and wishing they could be, you know, back in the house and These songs were written while Courtney was touring, you know, around the world, working very hard, may I add. And I was kind of sitting in the dead of Melbourne's winter.
Dead is Melbourne's winter?
Look, it's nothing like New York City. Let's put it in perspective.
Yeah.
But the thing about Australia that you discover very quickly is that it's not prepared for winter because we have these really hot summers. We don't have the same heating. The central heating systems in America are incredible. So you kind of struggle through the winter. You know, you have to pay a lot for heating.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, so there you are in the dead of Melbourne winter, whatever that is.
In the dead of Melbourne winter, with our cat Bubbles as company, you know, trying to write an album, I guess. And, you know, some of the songs were really about, you know, missing my partner and questioning even whether I was built for these long, you know, times apart. It's really hard. I mean, anyone who's been in a long distance relationship or even just had a bit of time away from their partner will attest to how quickly you can feel very distant.
Yeah.
And that distance definitely crept in. And I think both of us, you know, struggled there during that period of time. And thankfully we made it through to the other side, and Courtney was, you know, has been home for a good part of most of the year.
So home is still Melbourne.
Yeah,
because it
is.
Seems like there's a real community, because she's used her platform to kind of shine a light on people like you and Fraser Gorman.
Yeah,
you know, I would never have heard of him without.
No. Yeah. No, it's true.
All right, so you want to play this the song Sensory Memory?
Yeah, I'll just move over
to
my other
switch to the other
guitar.
Okay. Jen Clower's here with us in the Soundcheck studio. Two guitars in tow. This second one, in a different tuning, is a notably smaller instrument without a notably smaller sound, though, which is a pretty neat trick. The song is called Sensory Memory. You'll find it on the latest album by Jen Clower, which is self-titled. Here's a live performance, solo and unplugged, on Soundcheck.
I start missing you days before you leave. I guess it's a kind of sensory memory deep below the conscious. Mind you, I can be on my own. I'm an only child. I like my company. Part around, make another part of tea for two is when you come home. We sit and eat breakfast, eggs with soldier toast, buttered well, so you get the edges of the things we never say. Distance has a funny way, slowly making you someone that I don't know. All day, city through a window, air-conditioned room with a view, late night, early morning, light creeps through the blinds, and the cat, hungry for her breakfast, routine keeps me sane. I'm not made for the lonesome highway. Guess I'm never gonna be the joy to your slim dusty. Get home. Ba 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 da 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 da
Jen Clower, live, solo and unplugged. And we should say, Jen, that these songs, this album rocks.
It does, yeah.
The band includes Courtney Barnett on guitar and Bone Sloan, who plays bass in both of your bands, and Jen
Shalakis
on drums. So there's a real kind of DIY punk aesthetic at work in a lot of your songwriting, although the sound of this record is much more kind of classic rock than punk, it seems.
Yeah,
was that intentional?
I think it's just one of those things where I just write, you know, and I just see what comes out as I write. And it became apparent to me probably halfway through writing the record that it was a classic rock album.
Hmm.
You know, just a really good tight four-piece band. And the album was actually recorded live. So we went out to a barn, actually, a barn in country Victoria. That is a studio. And recorded over a week. And just, you know, recorded live to tape. And would listen back until we could hear the take that had that energy.
Yeah. So you and Courtney were playing electric guitars mostly.
Mm, yeah.
Was a song like this originally written on an instrument like this? Because, you know, the tuning here opens up the sound in a really striking way.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I write everything on acoustic.
Yeah.
And then, you know, moved a lot of the guitars over to electric guitar. But yeah, I mean, I think, for the main part, the majority of what I've written translates better to seeing us as a four-piece rock band. But, you know, for this tour with Kurt and Courtney, I'm walking out into these, like, incredible theatres. I mean, it's been a tour of the most beautiful theatres in America. These are my first shows in America, and I'm, like, playing to 2,000 people at the Beacon or something. You know, it's like... But it really lends itself to just guitar and vocal. People are sitting there. They're ready to listen.
Mm-hmm.
I've been able to kind of tell a few stories around the songs to bring people in. And it's great to have those two sides to what you do, you know.
There is an interesting, I don't know if it's a mistake, but there's an interesting statement on the Wikipedia page for you.
Okay.
Under personal life, it says that you live in Melbourne with your wife, Courtney Barnett.
I know.
So what is the status currently of the same-sex marriage bill there in Australia? Are they still in the process of voting on that?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of embarrassing, really. You know, there's been many public opinion polls in Australia that would show that, you know, at least two-thirds of Australians believe that same-sex marriage should be legal.
Right.
But as we were saying earlier on, you know, global politics just seems to be very regressive at the moment. And so it was decided by our current government that there should be a public opinion poll. So it's non-binding. It doesn't mean it's not a referendum.
I see.
The result won't, therefore reflect legislation. Yeah, and they've spent $122 million worth of taxpayers' money to take a public opinion poll. I mean, it seems ludicrous, but I think the damaging side of it, I don't necessarily feel that I'm not validated, but I really feel for the children of families that have same-sex parents who have had to go through this tedious public debate where, you know, the validity of their family is kind of played out against this really grotesque public forum. So that's been the sad part of it for me.
Yeah. There's the line in Paralysis Analysis, another song from your record, where, you know, you're talking about, really kind of fuming about the fact that these other people can decide whether you can have a wife or not.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the point that I make is, you know, I pay my fines, my taxes on time. You know, I do all of the other things that's expected of any citizen, and yet I'm not afforded the same rights. And I think that's really what it revolves around for me, is just simple civil rights.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, look, it's a conversation we've had in this country, and even though there are lots of states in which it is legal, it's not by any means a conversation that's over.
No.
You know? You also mention, in kind of biblical, you mentioned Black Lives Matter. So clearly you're tuned in to our political foibles and follies here.
Well, I think that America and what's been happening in America over the last couple of years, I mean, it's it's fascinating.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, I think the world is watching because, you know, anything could happen. That's how it kind of feels. It's been scary for, I think, the global community watching American politics. I think all of us have tried to grapple with, and certainly when I wrote that song, kind of biblical, how American politics moved to its current position. And so, you know, I did a lot of research before I, you know, before you start writing about someone else's politics, you really need to do some research. And I guess I wanted to understand why you would vote for Trump. And I think it's more valuable to understand than to take sides, you know, to understand why. And again, to understand why would someone think that someone shouldn't get married. And then at least if I understand, I've got a better idea about where I sit on the spectrum.
Right, then you're not just shouting platitudes at each other. You can actually have some kind of conversation.
Yeah, and yeah. I think that's the thing. You know, we live in a world where we've lost the art of conversation and understanding. And I think it's really important that we come back to that.
Well, you know, the American dream has been a subject of novels and poetry and, yes, songwriting for many, many years. And the loss of the American dream, or the American dream gone wrong, has been a particular favorite of David Byrne, you know, talking head songs like The Big Country or Once in a Lifetime, you know, My God, What Have I Done, chasing. You, in the song you're going to do next, in Regional Echo, which this is probably my favorite song on the record, because it just resonates so much. It's like the Australian version of the American dream. Is that...
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, again, I think that we need to look at the world as a global community more and more. Everything from our natural environment to our politics, we have to stop looking at ourselves as these separate entities. And it's interesting because the world seems to be becoming more and more partisan by the day, and those people over there and these people, you know, all of this kind of divisionist politics and ideas. And I guess in a way, you know, you start to see all of the similarities. And a song like Regional Echo is, I think, perhaps something that's quite specific with Australia is we're so far away from the rest of the world. Just to sort of leave Australia.
I've noticed.
it's a long trip,
that's
right?
A grueling trip. Oh, man.
You kind of come off that plane feeling like a lizard, you know, so dried out. It's like, someone help me. But yeah, I think the thing about living so far away from the rest of the world is, I mean, it's expensive to tour. That's probably why it's, you know, my first time touring in America is that, you know, just to get visas and fly over here, you kind of, you know, with a band, you're sort of $20,000 in the red already and you haven't even played a show.
Yeah.
But also there's a funny thing in the Australian psyche, and that's something that I could say that's really positive about America, that I've noticed is, you know, people are very positive here and they wish you the best and they want you to do well, and when you are successful it's celebrated. But strangely in Australia there's this weird kind of convict mentality where, you know, you don't want to get too big for your boots and don't dream too big. And most of us never even imagine having a career outside of Australia, let alone inside Australia. So, you know, to give it some perspective, you've got this massive country. It's really expensive just to travel around. You know, you have to fly everywhere because it's so huge. But there's only 25 million people there. So to have a career as an artist there is really a difficult undertaking.
So this is kind of a melancholy look at the Australian dream.
It is.
Yeah. All right. You want to play it for us?
I will. I'm just going to swap
back over. Back to the first guitar for
back
this one.
To the biggie.
Okay. The song is called Regional Echo, and again, this is a solo, unplugged version of a song that appears on Jen Clower's latest album, which is self-titled. She will be back with her full band here in New York on January 30th to play at Rough Trade, but today she's playing solo for us here on Soundcheck.
Noisy miners bully the suburbs out beyond the haze. Seaside holiday houses lay as a grave. Tombs of dreams past, wealth gone to waste. The Australian dream is fading, stolen. Just can't be done. I'm never gonna say, never gonna do, never gonna be anything more than what's expected of me. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. Pavement too hard to walk on barefoot, so you hop and skip. In wheelie bins marinate a cocktail a stink. That's weighing on the power line. Wings open and surrender. This is how you die. And I'm never gonna lose my head to a setting sun. I'm never gonna dream of things that just can't be done.
That is Jen Clower and a song called Regional Echo. There's just something so heartrending about that idea. I'm never going to be anything more than what's expected of me. This from the country that gave us AC/DC. So there obviously are exceptions to that in Australia.
Well, there are. I mean, I love that idea that often people don't go beyond what's expected of them. I don't know. I always think, you know, I really, particularly in the arts, I always hope that parents really support their children and encourage them. That wasn't my experience. God bless my parents. They've passed on, and they were wonderful, beautiful people. But there was always that message of make sure there's a backup. You know, mm-hmm. This isn't going to work out for you. Artists suffer. And it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. And thankfully, you know, somewhere along the way as an adult, I was able to change that narrative. And, you know, today I am doing what I love and, you know, making enough.
And making it possible for others. I mean, Milk Records has become pretty influential, as I said earlier in the session here, that's how we've gotten to know your music and Fraser's music and Courtney's music and, you know, lots of other people.
That's right, yeah.
It sounds like there's a real community at work there in Melbourne, you know, that it's sort of like Brooklyn 10, 15 years ago where everybody knows everybody else and they're all supporting each other.
Totally. I actually went along to a launch last year. It was like a young band, punk band, a lot of really cool punk bands with, you know, great politics that aren't frightened to say something. It was just a small club. It was packed out. And honestly, I was like, this is what it would have been like in New York when the Velvets were playing. Hmm. You know, over at Andy Warhol's space, you know. It was just like full of people just being crazy, but they were comfortable with it.
Yeah.
You know, like it was just that they were just being themselves, like just a room full of freaks in the best possible way, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. Hey, I remember CBGBs in the heyday of punk. So, yeah, a room full of freaks, I'm there.
And it was real, you know. Yeah. It wasn't kind of some posy, assumed,
right,
cold version of it. It was a really warm, exciting room to be in. And I feel like at the moment, Elton John was saying it recently on his Apple Beats show,
right,
you know, there must
right.
be something in the water in Melbourne, you know, what's going on there? And I think there is that sense of the world looking to Melbourne at the moment. There is something going on there. And it's exactly what you said. It's a really wonderful community. It's supportive and edgy. You know, there's some really interesting music coming out of there.
Not least your own music. I really have loved this latest record of yours, simply entitled Jen Clower. Jen, thank you for playing some of it for us today here in the studio.
Thanks for giving me the opportunity, John. It's been fun.
This is Soundcheck.
Shady Grove, my true love. Shady Grove, I know. Shady Grove, my true love. I'm bound for Shady Grove. Wish I had a banjo string.
That's all for this Soundcheck podcast. Follow us at Soundcheck on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Instagram at Soundcheck Radio. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Light production work provided by the New Sound staff, Karen Havlick, and our video producer is Kim Nowacki. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.
Fly around my pretty little miss, nearly drive me crazy. Shady Grove.